First of all, let me thank Michelle for putting this together, doing the slides. I'd look pretty silly up here with my 1950 overhead projector.
We have one downstairs.
Okay. Something that I would like you to keep foremost in your mind while we go through this. Some things are more than the sum of its parts. I feel that way about the Lord's Prayer. Give you an example. You drove here. Each car that you drove has approximately 30,000 parts. And with those 30,000 parts, if you put them together right, the old car will drive you where you want to go and serve you well. Maybe even a status symbol or not. But whatever it is more than the sum of its parts. Something maybe closer to home. Lori each Sunday takes instruments and notes and people and puts them together, and sometimes it's so beautiful it makes me cry. So there are a couple of examples. Next. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer and what Christ said about it. The fact of the matter is that this is not a sermon. I'm not presumed to give you a sermon on the Lord's Prayer if I'd studied my whole life, but that's Stina's domain. What this is a testimony, if you like, or just a true story that happened to me and what happened. If it's relevant, then that's good. That's what I mean it to be. Story started 7 years ago. You want to, maybe it was 8 years ago, maybe it was 10. I don't remember exactly, but it was about 7 or 8 years ago when I, in my usual place up by the control center, sitting there waiting. And incidentally, just as a matter of fact, I really like sitting there. It's kind of sheltered, and I have a terrible singing voice. Terrible. And Tim and Craig and Roger and Bill sometimes are sitting around me, and they drown me out completely. So I can sing just like I'm in the choir. I can celebrate singing. So that's why I like it up there. But anyway, I was sitting up there and the Lord's Prayer came on. And I started reciting it. And when I was halfway through, I realized that I was thinking of something else. And then, for the last half, I thought about thinking about something else. And it hit me that it had become so meaningless, even trite, rote, that it embarrassed me. I was ashamed because I know it is the core of many of you, it symbolizes Christianity. It's the mother of all prayers, sure, the most popular prayer ever, and certainly needs to be hallowed, to be respected, to be thought about, to be studied, but I wasn't doing any of that. And I hadn't been for many, many years, and I realized it. So I thought, I better do some study. If I'm a Christian, I'm going to try to study and see what this prayer is really about. What did Christ mean to say to us? And so I started. I spent about 6 months or so, maybe more, and I found all of the books that wrote about prayer, lots of books about it. And the current Pope has even got a book on it. And I talked to ministers, and I read the books, talked to ministers. I even corresponded with some theologians. And after a time, it was disappointing because I understood what the words say, but I wasn't enlightened as to anything beyond that. They mostly, the analysis of the Lord's Prayer took each word, found the Jewish or Greek root, and redefined it a little bit. And I didn't need redefining. I could understand it was written. And so what I found was a lot of petitions asking for stuff and a lot of praise familiar to all of you. But then I made a discovery after studying for all these things. It broke through to me, and it involved not the words of the prayer, but what Christ told us before the prayer. You want to change it? This then is how you pray, you should pray. He doesn't say what to say, he says how you should pray. Well, that struck me as being important. So I looked up different interpretations of that particular strain, and I use the Living Bible. It says, pray along these lines, how, and along these lines. The King James, with its flowery manner, which most everybody uses, the NIV or one of those, which we use here, but in its flowery manner, I wanted to read it to you. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray you. So, my new job was to study manner, how, lines. What's the structure of the Lord's Prayer? I'd never thought about that before. But it obviously was important because Christ is telling us that's how you pray. And that would mean to me that the Lord's Prayer becomes a model for praying, all kinds of prayers, all kinds of different prayers. And that struck me as being valuable, and I should be studying it. So I did. I tried and tried to learn more about the structure or the composition of the prayer. How was it put together? Okay. The difference is that what I learned was that you're talking with God, not to God. That's another discrimination that was very important to me and caused me some problems. I guess that it may date back to when I was 80 years ago. Oh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? 80 years ago, I was in elementary school in Rosemount, Minnesota, in a little school, and it was primarily German Catholic, all kinds, two or three Methodists in there and half a dozen Lutherans, but mostly Catholic. And we went to catechism once a week. And of course, most of my friends were Catholic, so I'd tag along with them. And somehow I absorbed what was, and it may be different now because I'm not any expert on Catholicism, but at that time, Christianity was centered around the priest, not Christ or God or Mary or anything else. They were mentioned, of course, but it was centered around the priest. The priest would take your confession, or he'd give you your assignment, or he would do this or give you permission to do that. And so it put a distance between me and the center of Christianity, and I think it stuck. And when I thought about talking with God on a level that I think Christ meant for us to do, that was almost overwhelming. I could not easily and quickly do it. However, I tried to work my way through, and look at this as a model. Okay. And I had to accept that I was saying the words for myself. I always kind of felt like I was, maybe I'm blaming the that early Catholic experience unfounded, but I always kind of thought the Lord's Prayer, when people were saying it, I was standing off and listening to Christ say it. I didn't own it. It was just a nice thing to be doing. And I had to come to grips with that, because that isn't what Christ intended. Now I know, of course, but I had to get past that, and getting past it, you can turn. I had to own the idea that I was communicating with God, Christ, myself. And that's what the prayer means to me now. Okay. The Lord's Prayer, I wrote a lot of things down here because I want to get the specific thing across that I want to talk about today in a short period of time. Maybe some of you will be able to come to the study in next week, and we can go into it deeper. But that first revelation to me was the how. I was going to find out the manner and the line that the prayer meant. But how does it stack up with other prayers? The dimension of prayers is broad and human experience and understanding. There is praise, petitions, intercessions, blessings, remembrance, salvation, to mention a few types of prayers. However, I'm suggesting the Lord's Prayer is unique among them. And here's why. The Lord's Prayer is personal. It is personal. And as soon as I could get away from thinking about standing off and listening to the rest of the congregation saying, it became personal to me. Okay, change it. So the greatest revelation to me in studying the Lord's Prayer was that the Lord's Prayer is really two-way communication. It's a real contact between you and God, and I'll explain that. Turn it as a promise. Now we can talk about anything in this world that we do. The most common thing that we do day to day is a barter system. We whether you're getting married, you exchange promises. If you're buying food, you pay with money and you get the food. It's an exchange of a promise for a promise. And we got a lot of words for it. You can say promise, or you can say it's a covenant. Most Christian type talk is covenant. That means same thing, to me at least. But a contract is the next point. Do you make a firm promise for a promise? When you're getting married, of course, it's even stronger. You say a vow. I don't know, just the word sounds stronger. I don't know if it's stronger than a promise for a promise. But it's giving and taking. You give, and the other person, you have an agreement to exchange. I was reminded, my father owned a filling station, and I worked there a lot when I was a teenager. And he did bartering system. I remember one time, we lived out in the country. I lived on a farm out in Rosemont. And one time, he said, take that home, Cliff. And it was a box of live chickens, and with holes in the side of the box. And we took them home, and they scratched around for a while, and we ate them. It was the barter system. You can change it. Now, I believe this happens every time we say the Lord's Prayer. It's two parts. Now, I'm going to the next one. I've broken the Lord's Prayer into four parts to discuss and clarify that those two revelations. It's how, the construction of it, and that it's a promise for a promise. I hadn't looked at it that way before, but as I said earlier, now I do every time I think about it. Do I make a promise for a promise? Okay. Part one. Christ is telling us how to pray. How to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Remember, we're talking with Christ now, or amongst Methodists, that's the same as God, to me at least. Remember, Christ is telling us how to pray. There is no question on who's we're talking to here. Party of the first part, if you want to talk about it as a contract. We're talking to God. That's part one. That's the situation. Okay, part two. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our part of the bargain. That's what we promise. We're clearly stating that we accept our part of the contract by repeating it. This is our charge and the main reason for saying the prayer. If not us to do it, then who? I do not read it as some vague miracle God is to perform or at some future time. It's our job and the very reason that Christ and God came to earth and taught us the gospel. I think that is the nut of the whole thing right there. We promise that we're going to bring his will and do his will on this earth. Next one, a clarification about the word kingdom. I was never quite clear because it seems to be so huge that it's hard to pin down. But Luke 17, 20, and 21 have something to say about it. Christ said, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God begin? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God isn't ushered in with visible signs. You won't be able to say it has begun here in this place, of there, in that part of the country, for the kingdom of God is within you. And I read that as accepting the Holy Spirit. So, two things is our bargain. We accept the Holy Spirit. We agree to spread God's word and try to do His will. Okay, third part. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses and so on. These are petitions. Clearly God's part of the contract, He promises the above while we promise to bring His will and His kingdom here to earth. Those are petitions. But they're special petitions because Christ said them, of course. But we've already struck our side of the bargain. Now this is clearly God's side of the bargain. Next one. Those are the two important, the two middle parts are the important part. This is really the doxology is praise added to the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. While this is not necessary because our contract is already complete, it is a form of holding the bargain with praise and faith, and we happen to do that quite a bit. And it's both, he's to do it, of course, and to fulfill his part of the mutual promise, but we like to say it because it makes us feel better. And so we do it a lot. And reading things about the Lord's Prayer or any prayer is usually that's a big part of it. Okay, to end this, I'm suggesting it is our free choice, and that to me is a very important element of this, is our free choice to say the Lord's Prayer, but in doing so we accept the responsibility, promise, to bring His kingdom and His will here to earth. That's a huge responsibility and not mentioned a lot. How we go about it makes our commitment and method to achieve it. That's all. This then is how you should pray, and Lori, you take over here.